You are listening to Latin Waves, a weekly syndicated program. For more information about our program, visit www.latinwavesmedia.com.
My guest is Graham Russell. He's a lawyer and the co-founder of Rights Action. Welcome to our show, Graham.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Sylvia.
It's always a pleasure. Now, the recent news has brought some grim pictures of the destruction being caused by ecological disasters in Guatemala. However, this is a country that has been plagued with a series of issues from exploitation to oppression of workers. Give us a brief update of what is happening right now in light of the recent natural disasters.
The main thing to be said is that the death and destruction caused by the so-called natural disasters overlaps directly with the underlying situation of exploitation and corruption and injustice. And for anyone who's been following the news since January about the situation of Haiti, you couldn't get a more excruciating and blatant example of that. Most of the death in Haiti, and close to some 300,000 people were killed there, was caused by the underlying conditions of exploitation and poverty, not by the earthquakes. Now, in the case of Guatemala had a devastating hurricane 5 years ago, Hurricane Stan, and then most recently, what it had a few days ago, was Tropical Storm Agatha. The death toll is somewhere between 100 and 200 people officially killed because of the mudslides and overflowing rivers due to the rains. The total will probably go up once people are free to move about the country and get to some of the remote villages and towns that were isolated because of mudslides and overflowing rivers. But the underlying issue is the conditions of poverty and exploitation, and that people on a regular basis live in extremely vulnerable conditions. And, you know, any hard or complicated weather situation is going to make their fragile lives that much more fragile and vulnerable.
Why does a volcano eruption or the case of a hurricane cause so much attention while the years of repression have gone ignored?
That's a very interesting and complicated question. I think there is there's something easy to hang on to with disasters, and that is that the way they're presented is that it's some terrible freak accident that's happened and people are suffering, and that people across the planet can relate to it immediately, but also in a way that that makes us feel like we're completely unlinked to it. Whereas when you deal with issues of repression and political repression and the genocide in Guatemala, you have to ask the hard questions of who's carrying out the repression and why. And then the answer to those questions gets much more complicated, particularly in the case of, say, the United States and its relationship with supporting and backing the U.S., the Guatemalan military regime for so many years. If people are getting killed by repression and genocide, then obviously part of the responsibility lies at the doors of the United States because it backs that military regime. Whereas in the case of a so-called natural disaster, we usually just get presented with the damage, and that to help these people, you can make a small donation or you can give some clothes or bedding or some sort of material aid. And that's the beginning and the end of the story. Now, as I said earlier, it's never that simple anyway, because the earthquake that devastated Haiti in January was not even the biggest earthquake this year in Latin America. The earthquake that devastated Chile was a larger earthquake, more powerful on the Richter scale. And yet, the number of people killed in Chile doesn't even compare with what happened in Haiti. And the reasons why so many people died in Haiti, as I said, have to do with the underlying conditions of exploitation and poverty and the political corruption. And those are issues that are linked to Canada and the United States. So it's a very complicated question you ask as to why the disasters get more attention and the ongoing repression does not.
And that's such an important point you make, you know, the way we distance ourselves from the way injustice is almost normalized and institutionalized as part of the way certain areas of the world operate. Can you give us some concrete examples of how a natural disaster, such as an earthquake or a flood or a tornado, impact the already existing conditions of repression in a country. You gave the example of Haiti and Guatemala to use those direct examples.
Vulnerability. The phrase that's the best, I think the most apt phrase, is that people who live in conditions of poverty and in corrupt countries where there's repression, they live in conditions of extreme vulnerability all the time, on a good day, on a normal day. And by that, I would focus most attention on sort of poverty and exploitation. And so people live in rickety houses, in places that are unhealthy, that are not safe to put houses. They might be in flood basins of rivers. They might be on steep cliff sides, and in the cities around Guatemala City, steep ravine sides. So they're living in bad housing in really unsafe areas on the best day. And so when massive rains come and loosen up the earth, then you've got mudslide conditions just waiting to happen, or when a tornado rips through, or when an earthquake. People living in bad housing in sort of steep, fragile conditions, or in floodplains of rivers or by the ocean, they're just bound to get hit right away and suffer greatly. Wealthy people don't live in those places. It's kind of as simple as that on one level.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the connection. You drew the connection that the systemic exploitation of people in Latin America, particularly Haiti and Guatemala, which is the countries we're talking about, can be put, the responsibility of that exploitation can be laid at the foot of Canada, the U.S., companies that are directly involved in the exploitation of those people. You've talked, Rights Action has been very actively advocating for the rights of citizens in Guatemala and Central America with regards to the struggle against mining industry. Talk a little bit about the relationship of these companies and the level of poverty and criminalization of activists in those communities.
What I'm getting at with the North-South relationship, i.e. when I was mentioning the case of Haiti and the responsibility of Canada and the United States, it's not to say that all the problems in a place like Haiti or Guatemala are due to outside countries. It's to say that part of the responsibility is. And these are, the issue of poverty and exploitation in Guatemala is at once a local, national, and international issue. And so it's not a reductionist argument to say that all the problems flow from Canada or the United States, but it's an argument that says that we are partially responsible, and that our economic and military policies are partially responsible. There's deep historical roots to this type of understanding. It's not something that happens from one year to the next. It's not like Guatemala was an extremely decent, fair, and just place to live last year, and then Canadian mining companies entered and everything went downhill. Guatemala's been a dominated and exploited country, arguably, since the Europeans invaded 500 years ago. I don't need to take up 4 hours talking about 500 years of history, but a lot of countries in the global south, whether it's Africa or Latin America, have been unjust and exploited countries for generations, if not centuries. That's the argument I'm looking at. And so when we look at the map of poverty and exploitation on the planet today, you know, levels of poverty and exploitation are found in the many countries of Latin America and Africa, and there's historical reasons for that. And those reasons have to do with policies that have been implemented by European nations and North American nations. That's the argument I'm making. And then when you look at it in the present day, the most recent example of these types of exploitative policies would be sort of the pushing to spread our mining companies around throughout Latin America in very unjust conditions. But mining is not the underlying problem. It didn't begin with mining, and it won't end with mining. And the unjust relationships around mining are just an example of historic inequality and historic injustice.
That's such an important example, although, as you point out, you're not putting the whole responsibility, and nor was I implying that that was the case. what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, we seem to be distancing from our own actions. How do we participate in maintaining those structures of injustice? When we think of structures like the International Monetary Fund, we don't see ourselves directly participating, and yet we elect governments that sit and vote for the decisions that these organizations make that deeply impact the lives of those people. So talk a little bit about what can we do as citizens, as, you know, as a community of people wanting to transform that structural injustice that governs so much of our trade and our market system.
Well, not to be too timely or casual about it, but one thing we could do would be to shut down the G8 and the G20 meetings that are taking place in Toronto later in June. The G8 particularly is this, the so-called group of eight nations, but this is like a terribly exclusive rich person's club. Like, anyone who believes in democracy and equality should be ashamed that Canada's a member of the G8, because it's an exclusive club, as I said, of the rich and powerful nations. And they get together to take policy decisions that promote the wealth and power of the G8 nations and to implement and enforce those policies around the planet. And so you mentioned the IMF, International Monetary Fund. One can also look at the World Bank. One can look at the World Trade Organization or the Inter-American Development Bank. And all of these institutions are the so-called international institutions that implement policies that favor a small number of very wealthy, powerful nations at the expense of a large number of nations. And then more specifically, they favor the interests of private global capital and private global companies. We as Canadians should do much more critical thinking about what is this G8, and then join in efforts to critically expose what the G8 is and try and get Canada to pull out. Canada will not pull out any time in the near future, because Canada and our ruling parties, particularly the Liberals and the Conservatives, work very hard to keep us rich and powerful in this unjust world. One thing that Canadians should be focusing their attention on in the short term is to be very critical of what the G8 is and just what it represents and whose interests it represents in this unjust sort of global order that we live in.
You make a very important point, and that is that this organizations represent the interests of a very small minority of people. The problem I see is that too many of us tend to blindly accept the myth that our interests are directly associated with those of, you know, global corporations like GE or Plutonic Power or, you know, companies that build armaments and nuclear weapons. How do we break away from that, from making that link that sometimes paralyzes, because we think if we oppose them, then we are directly impacting our own well-being? And I'm not sure that I believe that is the case.
The question is very important. I mean, number one is critical consumer and investor awareness. We need much more clarity and transparency around the world, but particularly North America, as to the type of products we're consuming, type of companies and products that we invest in, how they're made and under what conditions. Unfortunately now most of us can invest in or consume products that are produced in very unjust conditions, and we're not asked to be concerned about that whatsoever. And yet it's our very purchasing power or our very investment power that enables the continuation of unjust exploitation or unjust production. One can just think of bananas that we eat, and what are the real conditions of production of bananas in Guatemala? The coffee we drink, and what are the real conditions of the production of coffee in so many places around the world? And just go down the list of products we consume. So consumer awareness, critical consumer awareness, and then accountability, and then investor awareness and accountability is a huge challenge. And then from there, what you do is you say, it's not a question of saying, oh, we have to stop everything and go backwards in existence. We're very smart and intelligent human beings on this planet. We can produce coffee and bananas in just ways and pay people a just salary. and not use pesticides that contaminate Mother Earth. We can produce coffee in a very just and healthy way. And we can go down the list and we can produce clothing and footwear in very just and decent ways. So there's plenty of positive options. But until we get to the point as consumers, and this is a big issue for North American countries, Canada and the United States, because we're such wealthy nations and we consume so much, until we get to the point of being critically aware about what it is we're consuming and then saying, I no longer want to consume products that are produced in unjust ways or that are produced in ways that are exploitative of other people, or I no longer want to invest in companies or funds that invest in companies that produce things in an unjust way, like gold companies in Guatemala, for example. Until we get to that point, then we won't be really looking for healthy alternatives. So the critical education and critical awareness, both consumer awareness and investor awareness, is the number one challenge, I think.
What can people do today? You mentioned the awareness, but there's also, we are living in a world that's globalized. And the idea to me of a globalized world means that we're interdependent, that we're interconnected, that what happens to people in Guatemala eventually affects us, impacts us. The way if we allowed unions to be eroded and persecuted in places like Colombia or Latin America, anywhere in Latin America, eventually that leads to a persecution of those organizations here in Canada that protect the rights of workers. So what can citizens concern about, you know, transforming the way we interact and live in an interdependent world do today in relation to what is happening to Guatemala?
It's too big a question to answer in a short answer, because there's so many different things that people can do, and people have to start with what they're most interested in working on, whether it's working on environmental issues or human rights issues, and these could be issues at home or abroad. But I would say two general comments for anyone who's concerned. One is, you know, almost all religions and philosophies have some version of the golden rule as an integral part of their sort of ethical vision, and that is, you know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, or treat others as you would have others treat you. We need to get to a place of a golden rule in all facets of our existence on the planet, on Mother Earth, in our relationships with all peoples and with Mother Earth. We have to treat all people and Mother Earth the way we want to be treated ourselves, i.e. based on terms of equity and fairness and justice. From there, I would come back to the earlier point I made. If people are really concerned about these issues, I think the biggest challenges in North America or in Canada is consumer and investor awareness. We need to dig deeper into all of the places where our funds are invested, and more Canadians have investments than Canadians think, because if you just take something like the Canada Pension Plan that has been set up to take care of people when they retire after the age of 65, we should look at what the Canada Pension Plan is invested in, and we as individuals who benefit from that, we have to hold ourselves accountable and say we don't want our pension funds, our investment funds, invested in global military industry or in mining companies that exploit workers and harm Mother Earth. So we have to, on the investment side, become much more aware, critically aware of what we're investing in, and then demand changes to that. And then the same, as I said earlier on the consumption side, the wide range of products that one sees in their supermarket every single day, we have to demand transparency as to what are the conditions in which all of those products are produced, and then demand minimum standards across the board so that we're not allowed to import bananas or import coffee that are produced in unjust conditions. As starting points, there's generations of work to be done right there. Critical consumer awareness and investor awareness.
Thank you so much for being with us. How can people support the Worker Rights Action?
Well, they can go firstly to rightsaction.org, www.rightsaction.org, and find out more about our work. From there, they can get on our listserv. And then we send out information regularly to our listserv about all the aspects of our work, including we raise as much funds as we can in Canada and the United States to fund a lot of grassroots struggles, grassroots organizations in Honduras, in Guatemala, and in other countries.
Thank you again for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Sylvia. We'll talk to you again.
Take care.
Victims?
Be melodramatic.
Down there. Would you really feel any pity if one of those dots stopped moving forever? If I offered you £20,000 for every dot that stopped, would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many dots you could afford to spend? Free of income tax, I mean. Free of income tax. I don't think you save money.
It's like my whole life. I knew I was right. Lost in the struggle of the world powers huddled in a dark, dim room. Planning the planet's doom. Playing the puppet masters, viewing life like a cartoon. No Bugs Bunny, only bug phones. Keep a close watch on the lives they own. Made money causing sadness, addicted to the habits. Television giving, go ahead, let them have it. Reach, you can't grab it. Teachers just back it. Had it, gonna take a grab at this madness. I knew I was right, got it locked in my sight. And the freaks ain't the only things that come out at night. Yeah, the GPS or cell phones can turn them on. They own the technology and build the bombs. Own a gun factory and keep soldiers at arms. Supply the world with warfare and prepare the pawns.
They watch where you sleep, they control what you eat, and they're cloning your meat. I knew I was right, they hurt us like sheep. Watch them walk down the streets, they control the TVs. I knew I was right, let you know what they choose. Keep you under their news, and they're hooked on the booze. I knew I was right, they're holding the key, and they hurt us like sheep. Big brother's this little Bo Peep, I knew I was right.
Cameras and corners and government and disorders. And fucking with our borders like sheep to keep us in order. And every time I make a dollar, they wanna take a quarter. I'm not cheap or a hoarder or a war supporter. Try to be there for my daughter, tell her garbage kills whales and water. It's a shame apes get slaughtered, the truth hurts. Yeah, but at least it's the truth. While they tell you lies loose, I'm really real to the youth. So pass the noose, cause religion is a spoof. Must sound kinda crazy coming from a padded booth. Against the grain, I can't complain. I never fit inside a box, that'd be insane. You say you need a way out, man, I'm feeling the same. I'm working 7 to 3:30, man, I'm feeling your pain. And all the while, I'm just a paycheck for the government's gain. And when you really need help, they let you sleep in the rain, and that's real.
They own the cops and the military clocks, control trains and docks. I knew I was right. They bring in the drugs and they blame it on thugs. Listening on the bugs, I knew I was right. They're scared of our art cause we rip them apart and we speak from the heart. I knew I was right. They let you eat cake and they take and they take. It's like they want you to break. I knew I was right.
They can lash out, drink and pass out, wake up interrogated with a gun in your mouth. Said his big brother's house looks like nobody's home. He watched from underground and works on creating the clones. A restricted zone, Area 51. The eyes in the skies disguised as anyone of our own. In our homes, our houses, the house drones. In a rat race, we getting work to the bone. Said I've always known, I knew I was right. So the thought can't be bought and the truth is in sight. The wisdom listens and the knowledge speaks. So I'll speak out after listening to rebels and those free, those who opposed and closed in on the man, believed in the power of yes I can. Not no I'm not, never knocked down, or bowing to kings, uncovered the corrupts. Said I knew I was right.
They give you the credit and they keep you in debt and sell your cigarettes. I knew I was right. They distract with news, own the booze. You snooze, you lose. I knew I was right. They give you your ends and they act like your friends, but it's all pretend. I knew I was right. They keep us all apart, driving the comfy cars, creating AIDS and SARS. I knew I was right.
I knew it, man. You can tell. Knew I was right. Got me someone sitting up in that building, watching us like we was rats in a maze. Keep it working, working. We're all just slaves, man. Bunch of slaves. Now wake the fuck up. Cause there's no way that we about to give it.
same. I knew I was what.
That was the music of Chronic Vibe with their new song, I Knew I Was Right. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye for now.
Cambia lo superficial, cambia también lo profundo.
We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.